Hello, my name is Daniel Morden. I've been telling traditional stories for some 30 years now. The old tales fascinate me because they help me understand the world and my responses to it. During this crisis, I have found myself returning to certain stories and understanding them differently in the light of recent events. I could go on about what they mean to me, but I'd rather just tell them. I don't pretend that hearing a story in this format replaces the experience of hearing it live, but for the time being, it's the best we can do. Maybe you'll find the story helpful. I hope at least you'll find it entertaining. When I tell a story live, I get a response. There's applause. Maybe there's conversations with the audience afterwards. When I tell a story in this format, I get nothing. It's just me talking in my bedroom, surrounded by duvets. So if you have taken the time to send a message or post a comment, I thank you. It has meant a lot. This is the final tale in this season. It is called Miss Fortune. I first read it 25 years ago in a tatty paperback while I sat on a coach during an interminable traffic jam on the M4. I keep returning to this story. I've told it alone. I've told it with music. I wrote it as a play. And it continues to fascinate me. This project has been possible thanks to a stabilisation award from the Arts Council of Wales. My website is www.danielmorden.org, or you can find me on Facebook by searching for Daniel Morden Storyteller. There are more stories at www.thedevilsviolin.co.uk. There was once a king of Spain. Between him and his wife, they had had 7 daughters. They lived happily until their youngest daughter had grown as tall as she was going to grow. Then a neighbouring king came with a great army. The king of Spain and his people fought valiantly, but they were defeated. The king was taken captive, and the queen and her daughters had to flee to a distant village, where they lived in a hovel. They tried to earn a little money by sewing and weaving, but somehow, though their work was perfect, nobody seemed to want it, and very often the queen and the princesses had scarcely enough to eat. Sometimes the queen had to beg. One summer evening, when the princesses had gone up into the woods to gather wild strawberries, the queen was alone in the cottage making broth for their supper when an old travelling woman came knocking at the door selling pieces of lace. "I can offer you a bowl of broth, but I have no money. I am the Queen of Spain, whose husband was taken prisoner, and now with my 7 daughters I live here, in poverty. But come in, please, rest yourself. And if what little I can offer will content you, you are welcome to it." The old woman came in, sat by the fire. She drank her bowl of broth and then sat looking into the flames and muttering. At last she said, "Your Highness, to one such as I is given the power to look into the past and the future, and to see the causes of things. of the good and the evil fortunes that attend us mortals, of the bringing of the one and the curing of the other. Would you have me tell you the cause of all your troubles? I warn you, you will not like what you hear. It's always better to know, said the queen. Isn't it? One of your daughters, said the travelling woman, is Miss Fortune. She is cursed with a bitter fate. It is due to her that all this misery has befallen you. Send her away and everything will be restored to you. Your husband, your nation. But how, said the queen, can I abandon one of my children? Is her future worth more than the futures of your other daughters? And your husband? And all of the people of this land? It's immaterial, said the queen. I don't know which of my daughters is the one who is cursed. Tonight, said the old woman, when your daughters are asleep, take a candle into their bedchamber. And you will know. The old woman went her way, leaving the queen in a state of great bewilderment. The seven princesses returned. We didn't find a single strawberry. It was as if someone had stripped the bushes just this morning. Why does everything go wrong for us? Never mind, said the queen. Perhaps we will have good luck tomorrow. Always tomorrow, said one of the daughters, but tomorrow never comes. They drank their broth in silence and went to bed. The queen sat for a long time by the fire, but at last she lit a candle and went into the room where the seven princesses lay together in one rickety bed. The three on the right lay on their right sides with their hands tucked under their chins. The three on the left lay on their left sides with their hands tucked under their chins. In the middle of the bed, the youngest lay on her back, her arms crossed over her breast. The queen wept. Her tears splashed onto the youngest daughter's face. The child opened her eyes. Mother, what is wrong? Why do you weep? Have we not reason to weep? Mother, if it was because we live in poverty and good fortune never comes to us, you would have wept before tonight. But you have been cheerful and hopeful every day until now. Something happened while we were out. You always tell us to share our worries with you. Perhaps it is time for you to do the same. The princess would not listen to no. She wheedled the truth from her mother, threw her arms around the queen's neck and kissed her. She said, say a prayer and go to sleep. The morning is wiser than the evening. The queen went to bed. No sooner was she sleeping than the princess dressed herself and crept from their home. She walked until morning came. She passed her house. She glanced through the window and saw three sisters working, one at a loom, one spinning, and one making lace. She knocked. The sister who had been weaving put down her shuttle and opened the door. Please, said the princess, do you need a servant? The woman looked her up and down. What is your name, Miss? Fortune. Well, come in, Miss Fortune. If you work well, then you will find us easy to please. The women welcomed her. They set her to work, sweeping, cleaning, cooking. She worked with a will, and for a week all went well. One day, one of the women said, "My sisters and I are going to sell our wares at market. We will be back tomorrow. Lock the front and back doors after we have gone. Admit no one until we return." "Yes, mistress." The women set off. The princess spent the day cleaning and tidying in preparation for their return. When night came, she went to bed, thinking how pleased the sisters would be when they got back. She fell asleep. At midnight, she was woken by strange sounds from the room below. She jumped out of bed, lit a candle, and crept downstairs. In the workroom, she saw a hideous hag, her clothes filthy and torn, smashing the loom, the spinning wheel, the chairs, tearing the tapestries from the walls. The hag saw her misfortune. "Where you go, I will follow, and I will bring with me misery and destruction." The princess lunged at the hag, but the old woman snuffed out the candle. When the princess lit it again, she was alone. How had the hag escaped? Through the locked door? The barred window? The princess set to work, but there wasn't enough time to repair the damage the old hag had done. Next morning, "This is what we get for taking you in and trusting you. Be off with you, you ungrateful wretch." The sisters threw her out. She walked and walked, letting the road take her where it would. When the shadows began to stretch, she passed into a village. "You." She turned and saw a woman in an apron standing outside a shop. "You, are you hungry?" Misfortune nodded. "Well, then come in. It would be a sad world if folk like me wouldn't spare a bite to eat for folk like you." The shop was crammed with good things, baskets of cake and bread and cheese and fruit and vegetables. The shopkeeper, "You choose anything. The day is nearly over. I will be baking again in the morning. I will be stocking the shelves again tomorrow. Anything you don't eat, I will throw away." The princess ate much and said little. The shopkeeper, "Where are you going? Have you somewhere to sleep tonight?" She shook her head. "Well," said the shopkeeper, "soon it will be dark. The roads at night are not for one such as you. You can sleep at the back of the shop if you want. At least there you will be safe and warm from the oven." The princess thanked her. The shopkeeper made a nest for her amidst the sacks of flour. Soon the princess was asleep, her hands crossed over her breast. At midnight, something woke her. She lit a candle. There was the hag. The hag seized the loaves of bread and tore them into crumbs. She rent the cakes into scraps. She tipped the baskets of fruit and vegetables and stamped on them until the floor was covered in a pulpy, sticky mess. Then she pulled the bungs from the caskets. The wine and beer dribbled out. "Did you think you could escape your fate? Where you go, I follow. You can no more rid yourself of me than you can of your own shadow." Next morning, "Look what you've done." The shopkeeper struck her and shooed her out of the door. The princess fled from the village. She ran so fast she left her father's kingdom behind. For 3 years she wandered, suffering at the hands of her bitter fate. Wherever she went, she was shown kindness, but no act of kindness was left unpunished. The filthy hag pursued her like one of the Furies. Many a night she wept herself to sleep. One morning the rising sun shone on her face. She came to herself, opened her eyes and looked about her. She was thirsty. She heard the babbling of a brook. She approached it and saw a travelling woman washing clothes in the stream. When the travelling woman saw the princess, she gave a gasp. I know you. You are Miss Fortune. Yes, said the princess, and if you know what is good for you, you will stay well away from me. I cannot, said the travelling woman. It was because of me that you are all alone in the world. I was the one who told your mother your secret. I am glad that you did. I would rather suffer alone than make misery for my family and the people of my land. But tell me, how did you know of my fate? We travelling people know secrets hidden from you and yours. Listen to me now. When a mortal is born, they are given a companion, a spirit that accompanies them throughout their lives. This companion is called a fate. My fate is kind. Though I am not rich, mine is a happy life. Your fate is cruel. So although you were born with every privilege, you suffer misery. Tell me, what can I do? You could ask my fate, said the travelling woman. She will know. And the travelling woman told her what to do and gave her a jar of honey. The princess scrambled up the side of a rocky hill until she found a buzzing cave. Inside the cave was a figure lying on the ground as if asleep, covered in bees. The princess took the lid from the jar. The bees flew to the honey, revealing a woman. The woman sat up and opened her eyes. Miss Fortune said, the travelling woman thanks you for the happiness you have granted her, and she asks if you would do me a great kindness and tell me where I might find my fate. The fate of the traveller woman said, climb up to the ridge, take the track through the thicket. In the midst of that thicket, you will find her, sitting under a thorn bush beside a pool. Take these. She gave the princess a dress, a sponge, a bar of sweet-smelling soap, a towel, a hairbrush and a comb. This is what you must do. The princess scrambled to the top of the hill. She saw the path leading through the thicket. There she found her fate, squatting under a thorn bush next to a pool. You, said her fate, get out of my sight. I hate you above all living things. But the princess did as she had been bid. She grabbed her fate and threw her into the pool. She tore off her fate's ragged clothes. She washed her from head to foot with sponge and soap, singing as she did so. At first her fate screamed and fought, but gradually, as the dirt came from her skin, her screaming, her fighting subsided. The princess, still singing, lifted her out of the pool and dried her with the towel. Her fate was no longer an old hag. She was neither old nor young. She was ageless, and to the princess, she was beautiful. The princess teased all the tangles from her white hair and presented her with the dress. Her fate accepted it. She put it on and smiled. Please, said the princess, in return for my service to you, I ask a favour. Give me a new name. Her fate said, from this moment, you will be Felicia. Take this, in return for my dress. And she gave the princess a little box. Felicia thanked her fate and scrambled down the slope back to the travelling woman. She told her friend everything that had transpired. What was that? Horses. They heard galloping horses. Soldiers, come with us. They were taken to the palace of that country. They were ushered into the private chambers of the young king himself. Might you be the travelling woman who is famed for her powers of divination? Your Majesty, I am. It is fate that my guards chanced upon you. I need your help. Tomorrow is the trooping of the colour. I must inspect my army before my entire nation. This morning I checked my uniform to discover... One button was missing. I have sent servants to scour the markets and shops of the city, and no one, not even the finest merchant, has the button I seek. What should I do? Your Majesty, said the travelling woman, if you do not draw attention to your flaws, no one else will notice them. Yes, said the young king, but I will notice. Do you think it's easy to stand before thousands? This isn't my uniform. It is my armour. It protects me so I can endure the gaze of so many eyes. Without that button, I might as well be naked. What on earth am I to do? Felicia stepped forward. She offered the young king the box. When he lifted the lid, he saw inside a button. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, said the young king. As a sign of my deep gratitude, I will pay for this box with its weight in gold. A pair of scales were fetched. On one side of the scales, he put the box with the button. On the other, a golden coin. The box was heavier. So the young king put on a second coin. Still, the box outweighed the gold. Another coin, and another, a bag of gold, a sack of gold, a second sack, a third. Who are you? Said the young king. What is your name? Felicia. Well then, Felicia, where did you get this box? She told the whole story. When she had finished, the king sent servants to the spinner, the weaver, the lace maker, the shopkeeper, everyone who had shown Felicia kindness during those 3 dreadful years. He gave them gold enough to repay the damage wreaked by Felicia's unhappy fate. And as for your father, said the young king, he was freed from his prison 3 years ago now. He and your mother and your sisters have been restored to the palace. He sent a messenger to them. Felicia lived in the palace of the young king with her friend, the travelling woman, until one day her friend said, I tire of this. What care I for a bed with a velvet canopy when I can sleep beneath a canopy of stars? What care I for the music of minstrels when I can listen to the music of the birds? What care I for fine wine when I could drink sweet water from a mountain stream? Felicia thanked her and wished her farewell. And the travelling woman walked on into another story. One day, a carriage arrived at the palace. A messenger went to Felicia and said, Your mother, the Queen of Spain, is here. Her mother had aged. She wept when she saw her daughter and said, As soon as you left, our good fortune returned. Once again we rule in the palace, but now... We have known hardship. We rule with greater kindness. All these years my heart has ached. From the moment that you left, I have grieved your absence. I've searched the world to find you. Can you forgive me, my daughter? Felicia said, I have nothing to forgive. You didn't throw me out. It was my choice to leave you. And if I had not left, you would still be begging, and I would not have found and changed my fate. Mother and daughter embraced, and both kingdoms, ruled with kindness, flourished in peace for many a long year. Thank you. And there you have it. I hope you enjoyed Miss Fortune. There are more stories on my website, www.danielwarden.org, or the website for The Devil's Violin, www.thedevilsviolin.co.uk. My thanks go to Oliver Wilson-Dixon for mixing the podcast, supporting in so many ways, even composing the theme tune. I'm also grateful to the Arts Council of Wales Stabilisation Award. And finally, thank you for listening. And I look forward to the day when we can share stories properly, in person.